This morning I'm in Matthew 28, and I want to ask or present to you this morning the ultimate question. The ultimate question. We live in a day when religion is looked at as a matter of preference or opinion. And there are many people that think that all religions are the same. Just pick one and go about your merry way. Many, unfortunately, believe that religion's not important at all, including Christianity. Not important. They want to believe what they want to believe. But belief is irresponsible and empty if it's not based in truth. Some say that what's true for you may not be true for me. But nobody really believes that, surely. What if you went to the bank to withdraw some money and the teller said, "Well, I don't feel like you've got any money in this bank." It doesn't matter what the teller feels like, does it? If you know that you have money in the bank, and that's the truth. So we operate our daily lives on the basis of truth, but why is it that we don't operate the same way when it comes to eternal things? Why would we want to disregard the question of truth? Matthew 28 reports to us an event that happened in history. We should respond to it in truth, no matter what our opinion is or how we feel, because your eternity hangs on the truth of the resurrection of Christ. And so let's look this morning at Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they'll see me there.' While they were going, behold, some of the guard went up to the city and told the chief priest all that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day." We should note a couple of things before we go forward that you might not have thought about. First off, the unlikely witnesses that are here. The unlikely witnesses that were reported in this passage. In that day, women were not highly valued in that culture and were not credible witnesses with much anything, especially something like this. So why would Matthew and the other gospel writers pick women as witnesses if they wanted to convince their leaders or their readers that Jesus had risen from the dead? So there's the case of unlikely witnesses. Then there's the guards that didn't deny the body was missing. They couldn't say what happened. They knew the body of Jesus was missing. They just needed to come up with a good reason why he was missing. And they didn't notice that he was missing until they woke up. For the guards to deny that the tomb was empty would have been foolish, because the fact is the body of Jesus was gone. Amen. So the question is, did Jesus rise from the dead? Did he rise from the dead? And I'm not talking about resuscitation or reincarnation. I'm talking about resurrection. Did he rise from the dead? In other words, was Jesus dead for 3 days? And did he afterwards rise and physically walk out of the tomb? Jesus either did or he did not rise. And the ramifications of this are eternal. If Jesus didn't rise, then our faith is foolish. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, what we're doing here this morning is absolutely insane. We would be fools playing a religious game. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19 that we would be pitied more than anyone. And it's not all up to us as Christians to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. It's up to unbelievers as well, or even those who are just mediocre in their Christianity. If someone said, "Well, I don't believe the resurrection happened," well, prove it. Instead of asking me to prove it, why don't you prove it? Why don't you prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead? How do you disprove an event that happened over 2,000 years ago in which an entirely new religious movement and community just happened almost overnight? How do you disprove that? And the fact that it still goes on today, 2,000 plus years later. And if you don't believe that Jesus rose, then come up with another explanation as to why the church exists today. Well, there are explanations that people have come up with, or theories, you might say. And let's think together about a couple of those explanations and ask ourselves the question, among these five that I'm going to give you, what is the most plausible or reasonable explanation for the rising of Christ? First off, some have said that Jesus didn't die on a cross. This is one theory. Jesus didn't die on the cross. Muslims say that Jesus never went to the cross. It was only somebody that looked like him that went to the cross. Muhammad said that 600 years after the fact. Wonder how come, how did he figure that out? 600 years passed. And to say that, well, it was just somebody that looked like Jesus. But closer to that time of the cross, both believers and unbelievers said that it was Jesus that went to the cross. And some have said that Jesus went to the cross and he didn't die there. He just got hurt really bad. They say Jesus merely passed out on the cross. And then he was placed in the cool tomb, and where he regained consciousness, and later he just walked out. But how could he have suffered the beatings, the crown of thorns, nails driven through his hands and feet, hanging on a cross, and then just woke up in the tomb, tippy-toed past the guards, and walked away? How did that happen if he didn't die on the cross? Ridiculous. Then some have said that Jesus' tomb was not empty. They concoct that the women and the disciples, in their deep grief, went to the wrong tomb that morning, leading them to believe that Jesus was dead. They went to the wrong place. Maybe they should have looked next door, right? Since that time, everybody's been going to the wrong tomb, I guess. Well, this idea also fails. For one thing, the Roman and Jewish officials did not want the new Christians to say that their leader had risen from the dead. So they put guards at the tomb. You remember? They sealed the tomb. They put the seal on there. Why would they put guards at the wrong tomb? Some of these are almost funny, aren't they? A third one is the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Well, we've seen that in the passage here. That theory's been going on for a long time, hadn't it? The disciples stole the body. That's what the Jewish authorities were trying to propagate all along. But if that were true, how could these timid, scared disciples, and at that time they were timid and scared because they were afraid that after Jesus was killed on the cross, they were afraid that they were next, or that they were going to be put in prison. So they were timid and scared. So if it were true that the disciples stole the body of Jesus, how could these timid, scared disciples have outmaneuvered the highly skilled and trained Roman soldiers? How's that possible? That'd be like me and you trying to fool a platoon of special ops army guys or something, if I'm saying the right thing, or Navy SEALs or whatever kind of the special ops things are going on. The whole idea of a resurrection at that time was outrageous. So why would the disciples steal the body of Jesus to concoct such a story that no one would believe? Because already there were many self-proclaimed messiahs in that day that died, and none of them rose from the dead. None of them did. The facts together of an empty tomb plus sightings of Jesus make all these alternative thoughts impossible. If the disciples stole the body of Jesus and then no one saw him alive, then they wasted their time. There was plenty of people that saw him alive. Plenty of people. Which leads us to something else others have said to disprove the resurrection of Christ. They said that the disciples must have been delusional when they claimed to see Jesus. They only thought they saw Jesus. They concoct that the disciples, in their deep grief, had visions of Jesus where they actually believed that he had appeared and was speaking to them and was still leading them. Isn't that crazy? It's explained that this story that the disciples told, this thing just kept growing over the years to the point where people actually believed that Jesus rose from the dead. But this theory does not explain the disciples' boldness and the fact that their whole worldview changed after the resurrection. It happened overnight. Think about it. There was no process, no development, no debate or discussion about it. Yet in a relatively short time, thousands upon thousands of people believed that Jesus physically rose from the grave. Isn't that amazing? There wasn't a plan to get everybody to believe it. There wasn't a process, but suddenly thousands of people believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And the reason why is, we know, is that he really did rise from the dead, right? All these theories that people have come up with over the years are implausible, they're unlikely, they're unbelievable, and they're just plain silly, if you ask me. The fifth one is the most likely, and it is that Jesus died on the cross and physically rose from the grave. There's evidence for this even outside of the Bible. Evidence that is granted by virtually all historical scholars, even those that are skeptical of religion at all. For instance, few people would dispute that Jesus died by crucifixion. Few people would dispute that his followers believed that he rose from the grave and appeared to them. Few people would say that the lives of Christ followers were radically changed as a result of seeing and following the risen Christ. I want people to know when they see me that my life has been radically changed by Jesus Christ, don't you? But from the earliest days of the church, the Bible tells us that people have worked to cover up the resurrection of Jesus, yet every possible explanation has fallen short. But the resurrection of Jesus is true. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. Someone recently said that a good number of people who call themselves Christians don't believe in the resurrection. How can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? What are you doing? Are you saying that you're a Christian just so everybody will think you're good? Or that you're living the good life and all these kinds of things? Why is it that you would call yourself a Christian and then not believe in the resurrection? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Your faith that you say that you have, Christianity, rises and falls on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Everything crumbles if Jesus did not rise from the dead. All you got left is a bunny rabbit and an Easter egg. You can have it. I'll take Jesus. Won't you? I'll take Jesus. Because if not, we're the most pitied of all peoples on the earth if we do not believe that our Savior rose. But He did rise, and I believe that my Savior has saved me from my sins and redeemed my soul from hell. I believe that. And you can't tell me otherwise. You can't come up with a theory that's going to convince me that Jesus did not rise from the dead. Let's consider something else. Through Jesus' resurrection, He holds a place of authority in our lives. First off, His resurrection gives Him authority over life and death. In John 10:18, says, Jesus said, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus had the authority all the way through. Power over life and death. Who among men can make that statement this morning? Can you make that statement? I want you to stand this morning if you can make the statement that you have the power over your life to live or die. You could just take it up and die and rise again, but no one's going to do that, right? I'm standing, but that don't mean I think I could do that. That's exactly what Jesus did. Since He rose from the dead, He has complete authority over life and death. That makes me feel good. I don't know about you. Jesus is control of, has authority over me. He has authority over life and death. He picks the times when I'm going to go from this life. And I know where I'm going when I die. If I were to die today, if I were to die in the next 5 minutes, I know where I'm going because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Since He rose from the dead, we must also admit that His resurrection gives Him authority over sin and Satan. All men die because of sin. Because the Bible says death is the payment for sin. Yet Jesus lived without sin, so why did Jesus die? If Jesus had no sin, why did He die on the cross? He died on the cross as a substitution for us. He died for my sin. He died on the cross for your sin. He died in our place. And after He died, He rose from the grave in victory over death and sin. You can take that personally. You can say, He died for my sin, and He rose again for my victory. Amen. This leads us to a conclusion that Jesus has authority over you and me. Jesus is our rightful Lord and Master. That is a truth whether we want to believe it or not. Jesus is Lord whether you approve it or not. Jesus is Lord no matter how you feel, no matter what opinion that you have on the matter. Jesus is Lord. And the Scripture says in Philippians 2, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Question is, will you submit to Him as Lord before it's too late? Jesus is Lord, which is best for you, or later, it's for your doom. His authority means that he loves you, and he does. Amen? The purpose of the resurrection is grounded in Jesus' love for you and me. Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that Jesus loves us and gave himself for us. We should rejoice this morning that Jesus demonstrated that love for us on the cross and in his resurrection. We ought to be real happy about that. Amen? Amen. Jesus also has authority over us in that he'll judge us eternally. For all, did you hear what I said? He'll judge us. You know, everybody today, they're always saying, don't judge me, don't judge me. You don't have no right to judge me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, maybe I don't. But Jesus does. He has the right to do that. For all who believe in Christ, the truth of his judgment is good news. It's good news because you can be saved from his eternal judgment against sin if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. So the question, do you surrender this morning to the universal authority of Jesus in your life? Do you surrender to his authority? I'm asking those of you who claim to be Christians and those who do not, will you this Easter turn your life over to Christ? Will you not go another day playing religious games, the religious game of whatever that might be, fooling everybody that you're a Christian when you're not? Because we can fool each other, can't we? We can do a good job of that, fooling other people that we're a Christian when we're really not. Because there's nothing in our life that shows that we are. Or maybe we are good people. And probably most everybody in this room is a good person. But good won't cut it. Good will not cut it, because you can't be good by yourself or on your own. Because if you could be good on your own, why in the world did Jesus die for your sins? If I could save myself, why did Jesus go to the cross? What's the whole point? What's the whole point of the resurrection? Why do we keep playing games? We show up in church occasionally. Maybe it's just on Easter. Maybe you're here today and the last time you were in church was Christmas or Easter or Mother's Day. Well, we always call them the CMEs. CME Christian, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. That's not really funny, is it? That's not really funny. So why don't you surrender to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Make it a point today, if you've already done that, make it a point today to get with it. Get busy with it. Let's do it right. Amen? If Jesus died for me and he died for you, then why wouldn't I want to follow him? Why wouldn't I want to do what he says? Jesus said in the scripture that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, why wouldn't I want to follow him? Because I do love him. I love him because he gave his life for me. I love him because he's my life. And I want him to be your life today. If you died this afternoon, do you know that you'd be in heaven with him? I'm going to have an invitation here in just a moment. Everybody's going to stand. Everybody's going to be singing. And at that time, I want you to come. I'm going to meet you right here. You can give your heart to Jesus today, or you can recommit your life to Jesus today and start serving Him faithfully. And it doesn't matter if you come back to this church or not, but go to your church. Go to a church. Get involved. Prove to everybody that you really are a Christian. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we come to your throne, and I pray that if there's someone here this morning that needs you as their Savior, that you would move in their hearts. If they not leave here today, Lord, without the assurance of salvation. And Father, I pray today that if someone's here today, maybe they got saved a long time ago. Maybe they just need to recommit their life and actually serve you instead of just putting on a show. Father, I pray that you would move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.